Hello and welcome to Look Ahead Radio and Viewpoints Around the World. My name is Tom Arms and in a moment we'll be joined by Lockwood Phillips. This week our discussion of world affairs focuses on the tragic bombing in Manchester and I explain why suicide bombers are criminal losers. To learn more, keep listening.
Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world. This afternoon, of course, we're joined by Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We look forward to these conversations every Wednesday. And of course, of particular interest today is the events in the United Kingdom, particularly Manchester. England, where we, of course, had the story and the news related to the terrorist bombing. But it's an important story here. And with that, Tom, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Well, thank you for inviting me to join you, Lockwood.
Well, it's always a pleasure. And, of course, just to remind folks, lookaheadnews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And, of course, the Look Ahead Radio program heard every Friday afternoon here on this station and stations around the world, literally and figuratively. Tom, I was listening to your conversation earlier this morning with Ben Ball of Coastal Daybreak, and you were talking about the events in the United Kingdom. And of particular note, and we're going to get into the details of the event here in just a moment, but of particular note, and I want to go first to the event itself, but was the fact that we now have at least three people and possibly four people arrested for this investigation. And in the process, the comment came up as to the security relationship there at the arena in Manchester. Is there any new knowledge about how that bomber or that terrorist got into the facility?
No. They're thinking that he came in as the concert was ending.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't checked because they thought he was just another person picking someone up.
Right.
And if he'd gone at the beginning, he would have been thoroughly vetted by their electronic and everything else.
You know, it's the other aspect of this, and I want to mention this very quickly, and I was reading the story earlier today in the Washington Post. Apparently, Manchester is, a city under significant surveillance, that there are cameras throughout the city, and that basically the United Kingdom has taken on this issue of security very seriously. So this is not something that was a casual occurrence by a long shot, was it?
Well, if you mean the bombing was right. Certainly not a casual occurrence. I mean, you know, we don't have that many, but
we have a lot of closed circuit
television all over the UK, in London, in Manchester, in Liverpool. Manchester is the second largest city in the UK. It is usually called the capital of the North.
Uh-huh. And so my point is that there is and has continued to be a national endeavor insofar as security issues and protecting the public. So I just wanted to bring that to a point because I think it's important for our audience to understand this was not, and I said a casual event. I mean that in the sense that the nation has not taken this whole endeavor seriously from the get-go. That being said, what is the mood there in the United Kingdom and there in London and around the country related to the military presence, the state of emergency that the Prime Minister has established? What's the feeling? Is there a sense of foreboding, fear? What?
No, I wouldn't say it was foreboding and fear. I'd say it was anger and extreme sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the what has happened is we've moved up to imminent in the chart, the security chart, which is used by the government to determine whether or not there's a threat. And once it's moved up to imminent, then troops actually appear on the streets alongside the police. There are 3,800 troops now deployed in London and Manchester.
Wow.
The reason for that is because they're convinced that this bombing was organized by a network.
Mm-hmm.
And what they want to do is close down the network of bombers or conspirators as quickly as possible. while protecting the population from them until they can be caught. It's not a permanent thing. It's not going to be like we're going to be under siege for the next 70 days or something like that.
But we understand from the reports that there is great concern that there may be yet other terrorist events. Am I correct on that?
Yes, that is because that they believe that the bomber acted with a group as part of a network.
Okay.
And what they're concerned about is this network may have other bombing plans.
All right. What about reaction first from other countries in Europe? What has been either their reaction to the United Kingdom there and Great Britain or possibly what has been reaction in their own home countries? Is there concern, for example, in France, Brussels, that maybe there are other events soon to be happening?
I haven't heard of anything happening in any of the continental countries about increasing their security awareness. Britain tends to be isolated in that respect because it's an island. So, you know, a lot of the things that were happening in France started in Belgium. Or things that were happening in Germany started in Belgium, or they may have started in France. And it was easy to cross borders because of the Schengen Agreement. But things that happen in the UK usually finish in the UK because we have a closed border with Europe. And we are an island. It's very difficult for people to move onto the continent.
Okay, what has been the coverage of this event, now 2 days old practically? What has been the coverage? Is it continuing and is it pretty much consumed all the overall news there in the United Kingdom?
Yes, back to back. The only thing that's cropped up is Sir Roger Moore died, you know, Mr. James Bond.
Right.
And also the fact that we may be restarting the election campaign again soon.
Okay, I want to get back to the election here in a moment. I want to continue with the focus on the bombing there in Manchester. Our guests, of course, are actually our foreign correspondent and the editor of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon, Tom Arms. We are pre-recording this program due to the late hour of his of this program airing here. He would be midnight there. Tom, the other question I have for you is the reaction from the religious communities, and I'm talking about not only Islam, Judaism, and Christian organizations. What has been the reaction from the religious community?
Well, focusing on Muslims, they have been absolutely adamant in condemning the attack, saying it has nothing to do with Islam. The Christian community says more or less the same, that we should be united, and the same with the Jewish community. So I think people are pulling together in that respect. Now, there will always be people on the extreme, and there'll be extreme Christians, there'll be extreme Muslims who will take a different view. But the mainstream is certainly condemnation right across the board.
Okay, and this is not created. I'm hearing from you. This hasn't resulted in any major protests or marches or any visual display against any group of people. Am I correct on that, or has there been some?
You
reaction?
Are correct on that. There's good. Nothing like that.
Wonderful. This is good because we recognize that this is one individual doing a heinous act. It is interesting, Tom, that this was focused on such a young crowd. Has that been a discussion topic there in the United Kingdom? I mean, predominantly, teenagers apparently were focused or are targeted. This is significant. Does this raise some eyebrows, if you will, there in the UK?
It makes it even more heinous. You and I, as parents,
right?
I mean, every parent feels this sort of thing when it happens to young people. You know, you just think, there, but by the grace of God, you know, it could have been my child.
Absolutely, and I'm wondering, will this in any way influence or impact transportation, particularly in your large urban areas, because we're talking cities of major density and great international relations, I might add, across the country. UK is a center for, if you will, international access and business. Has this in any way interrupted some of the transportation and facilities there in the United Kingdom?
Not that I've heard, But I would think it would be logical that they would be stepping up security checks at airports and railways and things like that.
And the underground.
Already have pretty stiff checks as it is. So I don't think it would seriously disrupt things.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here in just a moment. We're going to continue this conversation in a few moments with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com. Tomorrow's news today, and of course, Look Ahead Radio is well heard on this station and stations around the country. And as we heard a few earlier in the program, in advance of this program, other stations are looking at carrying Tom Arms' program as well. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World here on the Talk Station, FM 107, AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
This is Tom Arms with the expanded LookAheadNews.com World Analysis for the week beginning the 29th of May. Look Ahead broadcasts tomorrow's news today so that you can plan to participate. The terrorist bombing in Manchester will continue to dominate the news agenda next week. More arrests, court appearances, more deaths among those critically injured, the row between Britain and US intelligence over leaks about the bombing, the inevitable post-mortem of British security, and the presence of troops on British streets will all continue to grab headlines. The British election campaign will be back in full swing after a pause because of the bombing. There'll be two major television programs. On Wednesday, representatives from all seven political parties appear in a BBC debate. Refusing to debate will be Prime Minister Theresa May and Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn. But they will appear individually and consecutively on Friday night. In Ireland, the ruling Fine Gael party chooses a new leader on Friday. Taoiseach Enda Kerry is retiring after 42 years in politics. The two main contenders for his old job are Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar. The new leader will automatically take over as Prime Minister or Taoiseach. The future of the Schengen area comes under the spotlight on Tuesday when the European Commission publishes a report on deficiencies exposed by terrorism. Several borders in the 26-nation Schengen zone have been temporarily closed because of cross-border terrorism. Green technology will be one of the main topics at an EU-China summit in Brussels on Thursday and Friday. European Council President Donald Tusk and European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker will represent the EU. China will be represented by Prime Minister Li Keqiang. On Monday, there will be a summit at Versailles between the newly elected French President Emmanuel Macron and the Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Then on Thursday, Putin plays host at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. Donald Trump is back in Washington next week. On Wednesday, he meets the Vietnamese Prime Minister for talks on the South China Sea. Also in Washington, the foreign ministers of the Organization of American States meet at OAS headquarters on Wednesday. They will be discussing crisis-stricken Venezuela. Dozens of people have been killed and hundreds injured in protests against Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. In Nigeria on Wednesday and Thursday, the Nigerian government is suing a Shell subsidiary for the alleged theft of crude oil. The government is claiming damages of $406.8 million. Malta holds a snap general election on Saturday. The snap elections were called by Prime Minister Joseph Muscat following allegations that his wife owns shares in an offshore Panamanian company. Also on Saturday, local elections will be held in Cambodia and Latvia. And that was next week's news today so that you can plan to participate in the world around you. Stay tuned for Viewpoints Around the World with myself and Lockwood Phillips.
Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. This afternoon's program has been pre-recorded because as the airing of this program would be midnight his time, and he's been very busy. I've got to also find out what's been happening with his electioneering efforts as well. Tom, we're talking about the bombing in Manchester, and the question that also comes up is the information that has been coming out of this event. I read with interest a story in BuzzFeed. I'm not a source that I normally don't research very much, but I was intrigued that they were critical of some of the intelligence community in the U.S. I find that fascinating. Also, story in the Washington Post about information that was released without the expectations or interest of the United Kingdom. What's the feeling there on this, all this information that's been coming out on the bombing?
They are absolutely furious with U.S. intelligence. Now, the way it normally works is that they like to keep secret the identity of the perpetrator or the perp.
Right.
They like to keep it secret so that they can swoop down and arrest all of his known associates or her known associates before these associates know that the person has been blown up or killed somebody or anything else.
Right.
So they like to keep it secret for 36 hours. But at the same time, the intelligence services have to liaise with other intelligence services just to, you know, tell them what's happening in case there might be something happening in the U.S. or France or Germany.
Yeah. So
and what's happened is that they told someone in the U.S. and the U.S. Intelligence person probably more interested in maintaining close links with the media than in doing a good job of intelligence, leaked it to the American press, and it was leaked out before they had a chance to swoop on any known associates. The Home Secretary, who's in charge of this, a lady called Amber Rudd, was absolutely livid and got on the phone and, I'm told, gave them H-E-double-L and used a lot of very choice words and later said, this will have an effect on relations between the U.S. and British intelligence services.
You know, it's astounding. And, of course, we've had situations here, and we're dealing with it, even in the United States, the sieve that is the normal intelligence community and both the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, and all sorts of information that is leaking out randomly and sometimes targetedly across the country. It is a major issue. And, of course, playing a role in that is the media itself. What relation has this, what impact has this had with the media there in the United Kingdom?
I don't think the British media are blaming the American media. I mean, if they were in that position and got information, they'd probably release it too.
Right.
I mean, that's what media does. But I think they are certainly blaming the intelligence services. It's up to the intelligence services to keep secrets, not the media.
No, that's interesting. All right. Let's move on to other items associated, frankly, with the bombing. You mentioned a moment ago, and you alluded to the issue of the election. And by the way, you've been involved in an election. But what impact will this have on the British election for that's been called for later in June, just a few weeks away, as a matter of fact?
Yes, the 8th of June. Not long at all now. I think they've suspended all electioneering. They're talking about resuming it next day or so, maybe this weekend. I think the effect is going to be that it will strengthen Theresa May's hand. Then, whenever you have something like this, there's a rally round the flag element, and the person in charge at the time gets the benefit of that, which is very interesting because Theresa May was actually beginning to suffer a bit. She was being pushed back onto the ropes. She had something called, she announced something in the manifesto called the dementia tax, which was not at all popular. And so she reversed the policy the dementia tax.
Let me hear that. Dementia tax?
Yeah, basically, that's what they call it. It was a tax on people who have to go into home care.
Wow.
Basically, the government would take their money and pay for the care homes, but they wouldn't actually, the government would pay for it, but it would come out of their estate when they died.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand the challenge. I can also appreciate that that would not be a very popular tax in light of the aging population there in the United Kingdom and around the world. All right, Tom, and again, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon, this evening, as a matter of fact. The other aspect of this, of course, is the issue of Brexit. And one of the concerns has been the topic of immigration and refugees. And I also want to bring this over to the European campaigns as well, or the campaigns on the continent, as we would describe it. What impact has this had on the whole issue of the British exit? Does this, from the EU, does this strengthen that argument?
It's too early to say.
Okay.
I may be wrong, but I think there's going to be an effort on the part of all the political parties to try and not make political capital out of the bombing.
They had
a similar situation during the referendum campaign when there was a Labour MP who was in favour of staying in the EU who was stabbed to death and shot by someone who was very much in favor of leaving the EU. They more or less didn't report what this person shouted, which was, you know, down with the EU or something like that, or all EU remainers should be killed when he was stabbing this MP. They didn't report that until after the referendum vote.
So the election is, the European elections, United Kingdom, you try to keep these purely on policy issues. Speaking of which, and we've got about a minute to go here, Tom, your bride is running for public office. Is she not? How an electioneering?
Oh, no, she's not. She didn't make the cut.
Okay.
But it's not quite that simple. She was due to go up for approval in September. And what's happened is that the approval committee is meeting in September, but they've called the election early.
Oh, okay.
So she can't possibly run until next time.
All right. But you've also been doing some electioneering. And of course,
we've been working flat out, stuffing envelopes, knocking on doors, phoning people, delivering posters, going to various hustings meetings to cheer our candidate on. I take notes and do press releases.
Okay, now has that stopped as a result, or you said a few moments
ago? That has stopped.
Is this determined by the government that all electioneering will stop, or is this just sort of an understanding?
No, it's agreed by the party leaders.
Interesting.
The Prime Minister took the lead in it and conferred with all the other party leaders and said, you know, I really think, you know, in the current atmosphere, that we shouldn't do it. And quite honestly, there are some people saying, you know, although there's not much can be done about it because Parliament has been dissolved, with troops on the streets and everything else, there's a real question about whether or not the election, you know, can be free and fair. I think probably it could, but, there are some people raising that issue.
Very interesting. Tom, we're going to take a quick break. We've got joining us Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio. And as always, to remind you, you can sign up for his newsletter, his blog, by going to LookAheadNews.com. It's free. Tomorrow's news today. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio joining us this afternoon. This portion has been pre-recorded to accommodate Tom's need for beauty sleep. It's nearly midnight as we are listening to this program this evening. All right, Tom, let's move on to other issues. I normally start off very quickly with a question about the weather there and the in London, and just before we get into other issues, because we got so focused on the events of the past few days there in Manchester and the bombing, or the terrorist, what we'll call the bombing, what is the weather like there for you right now? What's, you know, just the temperature?
Well, it's hot. It's too hot. It's in the upper 70s.
Oh, it's upper 70s.
I'm melting.
70s. Okay, melting at 70s.
And by the way, I am ugly, but not that ugly.
Oh, that you need beauty sleep. All right. Let's move on to other items. Let's talk about the trip by the president, his arrival in Saudi Arabia late last week, the start of this weekend, as a matter of fact. Recently, as a matter of fact, yesterday, a visit with the Pope. It is interesting that the president has made his first trip to a hotbed of dismay and concerns, and of course, the Middle East, and predominantly to organizations of significant religious nature. I'm finding this fascinating. What is the reporting on this trip among the press in the UK, and what is the feeling in the UK about this?
Well, they're quite pleased that so far the president has stuck to script and kept away from the Twitter feed. But they are stressing the fact that their concern is that he is unpredictable. And that, you know, he'll say something at one meeting and then change his mind at the next meeting. One diplomat was quoted as saying that the Europeans are stuck between an unpredictable America and a volatile Russia. And then he went on to say, if POTUS leaves here with the idea that the EU is in some way useful, then that's a job well done.
Okay. But what
so
about...
they've got very low expectations.
But
they just hope that he won't go away thinking that they should be broken up and thrown into a rubbish bin somewhere.
Okay, and of course that's the European Union. But what about the reaction to the visits to Saudi Arabia and to Israel and now to the Vatican? It is impressive that this is his first foray outside the continental United States, is it not?
Impressive that he's made a foray?
No, the types of visits he's made. He's done something that I don't know of a president that has done this in modern history, quite frankly, he started off. And by the way, going straight to a major conflagration being the Middle East, I thought it was very impressive. I'm impressed, but I don't get the impression that you or others.
No, because they don't trust him.
Oh, well,
too unpredictable.
Well, but do you know
that
what?
He bears the impression of a last person who's leaned on him too much.
Well, I tell you what, it's interesting because he's getting significant reviews here in the U.S. and impressive ones at that. All right, let's move on to the influence of this trip on the politics there in Europe and particularly the United Kingdom. What influence might this have?
What, the trip of...
President
Trump.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think, they're watching it very closely. I mean, Britain has always been a big player in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're watching it very closely. But as I've said before, they also are very concerned about the fact that President Trump is so unpredictable. They're very nervous about him.
Well, it's interesting. You've got a track record of a week, and I would think that this would allay some of those fears. But I'm not hearing it from you because I know what I get.
No, they're not looking at the track record of a week.
Well, that's okay.
They're looking at the track record of the 100 plus days.
Well, that's fine. It's basically partly a part of that anti-Trump movement whatsoever. All right, let's move on to other issues. Let's talk about the Middle East here, continuing that. I'm seeing a note here that Turkey has blocked Austrian participation in NATO exercises. And of course, the other question is, what role has Turkey even played in the news in Manchester bombing? I'm just curious, what is the role of Turkey here in Europe? And are they expressing any concerns in light of the fact that, they're holding the flood of refugees back from moving into Central Europe?
Well, so far, Turkey's only expressed condolences.
Okay.
But the interesting thing here is that Austria is not a member of NATO.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an associate member, but it participates in what are called the alliance's partnership activities.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has troops in Kosovo and has troops in Afghanistan. Now, what Turkey is very angry at both Austria, Germany, and the Netherlands because they wouldn't allow pro-Erdogan rallies during the recent referendum campaign.
Right.
And so they're taking it out on Austria first, because Austria is probably the weakest of the three. They're taking it out on Austria by trying to block Austrian participation in partnership exercises.
But now, wait a second. Turkey is engaged in these exercises. Am I understanding that correctly?
No.
But then
it's engaged along with lots of others, but not specifically.
Well, then how is Turkey
would just be one of many? But they want to stop Austria from participating in areas like Kosovo or Afghanistan or exchanging information with NATO, things like that, in retaliation for Austria blocking rallies in Austria in favor of. President Erdogan.
It just fascinates me that Turkey has that power or influence in NATO. Granted, they are a NATO member, but
they are the second largest army in NATO.
Okay,
and very strategically located.
Ah, So there's some concern about keeping Turkey happy. Very quickly, let's move to the issue of the refugees. And of course, Turkey has threatened at times to release the refugees into Central Europe. What is the future there?
Well, the problem with that threat, it's like a lot of his threats. Once they release the refugees, they have nothing else to hold over the Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's almost an empty threat.
Okay. And
they have been holding back on it. You know, and every now and then you hear it from Erdogan. You know, I will release the refugees unless you're nice to me. Mm-hmm. And then he goes quiet.
Well, it would be interesting.
And I think it's a case of, you know, that is the final straw. If he releases the refugees, then that's it. You know, I don't know exactly what will happen. You know, he can kiss goodbye any chance ever being linked with the EU.
I thought that was history as well. So you're telling me there's still a chance there. All right, let's move on.
It's still an associate member.
Okay.
Well, there is a sort of free trade agreement with them.
Okay.
So this would affect all relations with the EU.
All right. Then move on to, since we're talking about the EU and we've only got a few minutes left before the next break. Let's talk about Greece. And Greece, of course, has been bailed out now, I think, two times, and they have another bailout coming up. What's the future there, and what's the impact on the European Union?
Well, it was due for a bailout this week, and it's been postponed to the 15th of June. Now, the Eurozone countries were quite happy with the measures that the Greek government has taken towards austerity. Mm-hmm. They feel it's done all right. But they want the whole thing to be underwritten by the IMF. And the IMF is not happy. They think that the Eurozone countries are painting a too rosy picture of the Greek economy in the future. And so they're holding back. But the Europeans are very confident that something will be agreed by the 15th of June. It's probably going to be another holding pattern. And the reason for that is the German elections on the 24th of September. The Germans don't want to commit to anything that looks like a bailout on the part of Germany until the elections are out of the way. The German voters are tired of paying a lot of money to Greece.
So
they're going to try and hold off until the 24th of September. And I think what will happen on the 15th of June will be, a sort of holding pattern postponement.
All right. I want to move on to one other quick item for you. And this, of course, having to do back with the events there in Europe and, of course, the election. We've got about 2 minutes to go. European hacking last week has been traced to North Korea. Of course, that has also been the observations here in the States as well. What is the opinion of North Korea right now in light of the fact that the Koreans have developed yet more missile technology? Is there a sense that North Korea really is becoming more belligerent and, quite frankly, would enjoy a military event?
Well, yes. I mean, they're very nervous about North Korea, just like people in the United States are nervous about North Korea. And the North Koreans on this subject of cyber hacking, they actually have a bureau called mm-hmm. Bureau 121. Which is based in a suburb outside of Pyongyang. And it does nothing but, you know, work out ways of hacking into Western computer systems.
And, of course, there's some concern about the influence on the upcoming elections. Is there a concern there in the United Kingdom about this as well?
About the elections in the UK?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're concerned about that. Not so much about North Korea. They're more concerned about the Russians. The Russians have had a very bad reputation, not just the U.S., but they are believed to have hacked into quite a few election campaigns right across Europe. And I think that their concerns are going to try it this time again.
Now, what do they see as the concern? Is it a matter of influencing the voters or actually influencing the actual election process, such as maybe changing ballots and things of this nature?
They can't change ballots. It's all paper.
Okay.
They can't change ballots, but it's probably the same way that they did it in the U.S. By leaking information, fake news, things like that, in favor of one party or the other.
Isn't it interesting as we wrap this up, this segment, we brought up the topic of leaking again and the fact and the frustrations that the United Kingdom has experienced in the issue of Manchester, the Manchester bombing. All right, we'll take a quick break on that. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio this afternoon here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
Observations of an Expat by Tom Arms from LookAheadNews.com. The number of times that President Donald Trump and I agree can be counted on one knuckle of one finger of one hand. That one occasion was on Monday after the Manchester bombing atrocity, when he expressed his condolences to the families of the victims of the attack and then went on to describe the perpetrators of such attacks as losers. He refused to call them monsters. They'd like that term, he said. They would think that was a great name, but they're not that. They are evil losers. He was right. In the twisted logic of their extremist followers, vilification by the leader of the West only justifies their cause. But there is no right, there is no justification, there is no sane logic to strapping on a bomb belt packed with nails, nuts and bolts, marching into a music concert filled with children, and blowing up yourself and dozens of others. Manchester bomber Salman Abedi is not languishing in an oasis being fed dates by scantily clad beautiful virgins. If there's a life after death and Abedi's involves his skin perpetually and agonizingly melting from the heat of hell. But let's go back to Trump's speech. Abedi is a loser. A quick look at the highlights of his life reveals that. And a look at the bombers who've carried out attacks elsewhere over the past 12 months exposes the common theme. Let's start with the stabbing of a policeman and his partner in Magenville, France, on June the 13th, 2016. 25-year-old Larossi Abouali was a French citizen of Moroccan descent. Unemployed, he had a police record for theft and violence. In 2013, he'd been convicted for associating with a terrorist group. Loser. How about the Orlando nightclub shooting? 49 dead, 53 wounded on June the 29th, 2016. 29-year-old Omar Mateen was a habitual steroid user with an ambivalent sexuality. He flunked out of the Florida Police Academy, and his first wife described him as mentally unstable and mentally ill. Loser. Then there's the Bastille Day outrage. A 19-ton truck plows through a Nice crowd, killing 86 people and injuring 434 on July the 14th, 2016. Mohamed Louisi Boulel was a Tunisian with a French residency permit. His Tunisian wife reported him for domestic violence, and he had 5 prior criminal offenses for threatening behavior, violence, and petty theft. Loser. Car attack and stabbing on Westminster Bridge and outside British Parliament on March the 22nd, 2017. 52-year-old Khalid Massoud was born Adrian Russell Elms and is believed to have converted to Islam in 2005. He dropped out of school at 16, and by 18 he was a heavy cocaine user. He served 2 prison sentences, one for a knife attack and one for possessing an offensive weapon. Loser. 2 policemen shot on Champs-Élysées in Paris on April the 20th, 2017. 39-year-old Karim Shafi had been recently released from prison on parole after being sentenced to 20 years for twice trying to murder police officers. He was under surveillance for terrorism offences when he attacked. Loser. Manchester Arena bombing. 22 killed so far and 59 injured. Mainly children on June 22nd, 2017. Details about 22-year-old Salman Abedi are still sketchy, but we know that he was a university dropout, that his imam described him as displaying a face of hate, and neighbors said he was deeply religious, withdrawn, abrasive, and friendless. Loser. These are not martyrs who've given their lives for a great cause. They are drug addicts, criminals, wife-beaters, quitters, thieves, murderers, and mentally unstable zealots. They are the marginalized dregs of society who hide behind religion to mask their criminal instincts. They are, as Donald Trump said, losers.
Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We're talking with him live this afternoon. We're hearing it pre-recorded, of course, and be aired this evening at 6 o'clock. It'll be midnight his time, or nearly midnight, as a matter of fact, as we wrap this up. So, Tom, I do appreciate you taking the time to get with us earlier in the evening, give you a chance to get some rest. I know it's been a busy week, and, of course, you were doing some electioneering prior to, of course, the big events 2 days ago in Manchester in the arena. Now, of course, we were talking about the fallout of that event. I want to talk about a few other items before we wrap it up with just sort of a look back over the past week. I'm looking at a note, Bahrain police fire on Shia sit-in. This comes shortly after the visit by President Trump. What's the situation there in Bahrain?
Well, the situation is that the country is ruled by a Sunni, and they have a Sunni king, but 70% of the Muslim population is Shiite. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the Shiites and the Sunnis hate each other, and they have a real problem with the Shiites basically trying to undermine the Sunnis. And the Sunnis overreact by arresting Shiite clerics and putting Shiites in jail and suppressing Shiite human rights. And recently there was a demonstration against one jailed Shiite cleric, and the troops opened fire and a person was shot dead. Mm. Now, Bahrain is important. It sits in the middle of the Persian Gulf. There is a U.S. naval base there. It is the U.S. naval headquarters in the Persian Gulf. There is a British naval base there. It is the British naval headquarters in the Persian Gulf. It is very strategic. 30% of the population is Western expats, mainly mm-hmm. Brits, Canadians, Americans, and Australians. They are in very good salaries. It's a banking center. They run the country.
Right.
We have very close relations with Bahrain.
So anything of this nature, any rift, any civil war would be damaging not only to the locals there, but also in international communities as well.
Yes.
I know where there are several other items we're going to talk about, but I want to wrap it up with something humorous. So before I get to that, because I would like to end the day on a positive note, I want to go back to something very quickly. And this, of course, having to do with the events in the United Kingdom 2 days ago, the bombing in the Manchester arena. Tom, as we're looking forward in the week ahead, what could our audience, what could folks do on behalf of the country and those that have been so badly damaged by this? What is there any news, that any recommendation? And if not, I understand, but I didn't know if there was something that could be done that would be positive.
I should have looked it up. I should have been prepared for that question. But I do happen to know that there is a fund which has been set up. It has so far attracted £1.5 million,
okay,
which is going to the families of the people who were bereaved. I think if you were to Google bereavement fund for victims of Manchester arena bombing, that you would probably very quickly find it. But there is an online fund that has been set up.
All right. We will post that on our Facebook page as well. And we'll put that to, as a matter of fact, give responsibility that to Ross here a little later on. But this is an important story. And I just wanted to mention that very quickly in light of the experience that that you all have had, and know that we here in the States do feel very strongly about this and are definitely supportive. I do want to end this conversation, as we like to do this, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. Let's talk about this last story. A Mexican wins a 50-kilometer race wearing sandals?
Sandals.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, she won the grand sum of $300.
Oh.
She's 22 years old. Her name's Maria Ramirez. She's from the Tarahumara tribe, which are known for their long distance running.
Mm-hmm.
And all she wore was a pair of sandals made out of tires, rubber tires,
wow,
and a dress.
Wow. Amazing. All right. When did this race occur?
It actually occurred about a month ago.
Oh, okay.
But for some reason, it wasn't reported.
Well, it wasn't.
It's only just come out this past week.
It was just leaked this past week, Tom.
it must have been a CIA thing. You know?
It might have been. Tom Arms of
looking at Mexican intelligence. That famous oxymoron.
Yeah, be careful. Tom Arms of Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. And, of course, lookaheadnews.com. Tomorrow's news today. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.